Well, Peter Van Onselen is our regular commentator on a Thursday, and TEN's political editor broke that story about this new grouping of right-wing Labor MPs and senators called the Otis Group. Peter, hello there.
G'day, good to be with you.
You heard Jim Chalmers. He says there's nothing unusual about a group of colleagues catching up for dinner, sharing ideas. Do you think it's likely to cause much trouble for Anthony Albanese?
I'm not sure it's a leadership issue for him, but it's certainly a policy issue. And obviously, I heard that interview just then. I can see why Jim Chalmers is batting it away. But he's not reflecting exactly what the group is. Sure, they had one dinner meeting at the Otis restaurant in Canberra, and that's why they called themselves the Otis Group. That's not a nomenclature I gave them. But then it's the emails and the text messages that followed between the group, expressing frustration at not being heard, talking about some of the policy scripts that they want the Labor Party to move to, expressing frustration, as you mentioned, to Jim Chalmers about too much pandering to the Greens. Now, again, nothing wrong with that, because the ideas debate and policy debates are important, but the fact that there's 20 of them, 9 front benches, and that this was an ongoing dialogue amongst a group where they've given themselves a name, and the leader didn't know about it, and as it turns out, neither did the Shadow Treasurer, who's in the same faction as them, it tells you that they're disgruntled.
I'm sure if Anthony Albanese is listening to this, he'll be shouting, "I know more than anyone in the Labor caucus how to beat the Greens," because
that's true.
He takes them on in his seat of Grainler every election. Is this all a bit unfair on Anthony Albanese, given he did use the first of his so-called vision statements to reposition Labor's climate policy as part of a jobs revolution?
Oh, I think it is unfair. I mean, let me distinguish between, if you like, breaking the story and outing the group from thinking that they've got legitimate points to make when it comes to coal mining. I think Anthony Albanese, if anything, is perhaps pandering too much to that side of the agenda. Perhaps there's certainly a political risk of that. He's trying to balance both sides. This group want him to push more in their direction. Plenty of people on the left, or even I would call it the mainstream of the Labor Party, are looking at their leader and are a little worried perhaps he's already pandering too much to coal interests. I heard him on your program just recently where he was stumbling a little bit his way through how they were going to manage the whole coal debate. So the group wants him to do more, but that doesn't mean that they're right. But they are, if you like, larger than I might have expected before uncovering just how many of them there were.
Okay, let's look at the other side of politics. They are in government. Still plenty of talk about Queensland Nats breaking away from the coalition in Canberra, separating as sitting as a separate party. But Matt Canavan told us yesterday he's opposed to that idea. Barnaby Joyce is too. That's unlikely to happen. But does that mean there's not going to be another leadership change? Because Michael McCormack didn't sound too sure about that when he was asked by Chris Yeoman last night.
Yeah, and I heard that as well. Look, I think Michael McCormack still has problems, and there's probably another challenge in the Barnaby Joyce faction. But here's my prediction, and maybe this will kill it with some of my track record on this. I'm not sure that it's going to play out the way that Barnaby Joyce might want. I think it's actually more likely to be a reflection of what happened between Dutton and Turnbull, where Morrison came through the middle. If there is ongoing dissatisfaction with McCormack, the more likely scenario, I think, is that the new deputy, Littleproud, steps into the leadership, and then part of the breaking of bread is that McCormack gets ousted, just like Turnbull did, but some of the Barnaby Joyce supporters, perhaps including Barnaby Joyce, move on to the front bench, and then they all try to play happily ever after thereafter. I think that's the more likely scenario as a result of the tensions that have been going on.
Presumably, that will all take a while to play out. It's not going to happen next week, I wouldn't think. It's been reported that Scott Morrison is a little unhappy with Michael McCormack's sort of management of all this.
Mm. Oh, and understandably so. I mean, not that Scott Morrison has exactly been rolling around doing a great job since he got back from Hawaii and has done 4/5 of nothing when it comes to actually resolving the problems of sports rorts, let's be clear. But yes, there are problems in the National Party. McCormack is taking a winner-takes-all approach, and that's why I think the compromise candidate of David Littleproud may well come through the middle, because don't forget, David Littleproud and some of his cohort backed the incumbent McCormack up till now, rather than Joyce. So if they switch because their guy can get the top job, it really does look a lot like what Scott Morrison ended up doing to Malcolm Turnbull.
But as I say, that's not going to happen in the short term, you wouldn't think. So it means a while of unrest. Peter, thank you.
Good to chat.
Peter Van Onselen is columnist with The Australian and Professor of Politics at Griffith University and the Uni of WA.